From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ira Melman reporting the U.S. is expected to trim its troop drawdown in Afghanistan. U.S. President Barack Obama is expected to announce Thursday that he will slow down the planned withdrawal of American military forces from Afghanistan scheduled for next year. An unnamed senior administration official says the president will maintain the current number of troops in the war-torn country at 9,800 through most of 2016 before trimming that number by 2,500 by the time he leaves office in January of 2017. Obama made the pledge last year to remove all U.S. forces from Afghanistan by the end of 2016, with the exception of a small contingent of 1,000 troops based at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, saying it was time for the U.S. to turn the page on the war launched in 2001. Officials say the revision comes after months of deliberations between the White House, military leaders at the Defense Department, and commanders in the field, plus Afghan officials, and after Afghan forces briefly lost control of the northern city of Kunduz to Taliban militants. One day after the U.S. and Russia wrapped up a third round of lower-level talks on rules for conduct in the air over Syria, Russian President Vladimir Putin is slamming the U.S. stance on the conflict there as unconstructive. That after Washington declined to take part in high-level bilateral negotiations on coordinating military activity there. The comments came when both countries were conducting separate airstrike campaigns. Although both the U.S. and Russia say progress was made during the low-level video conferences, Moscow says Washington refused to offer to discuss it further. This is VOA News. Authorities in Turkey have released the identities of two suicide bombers who attacked a peace rally in the capital of Ankara Saturday. Both men are being linked to the Islamic State group. But now a blanket ban on any further media coverage of the bombings is being enforced by state prosecutors. Dorian Jones managed to get this report from Istanbul.
Quoting police officials, Turkish media say one of Saturday's bombers is the brother of a suicide bomber who killed 33 pro-Kurdish activists in the Turkish town of Suruç near the Syrian border in July. Turkish security forces blamed that attack on the Islamic State group, although there was no claim of responsibility. The second attacker was on a police list of suspected Islamic State suicide bombers. Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu revealed the existence of the list earlier this week, but claimed the suspects could not be detained as they had not committed a crime. The revelations will likely lead to more allegations of negligence by the government over the bombings, a charge it denies. Turkish media quote police sources as saying both men travelled to Ankara from the Turkish city of Gaziantep, close to the Syrian border, prior to Saturday's attack. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
Myanmar's government and eight smaller ethnic rebel armies signed a ceasefire agreement to end more than six decades of fighting, but other more powerful groups refused to come on board, signaling that peace most likely will remain elusive for some time to come. The pact was signed at a ceremony in Myanmar's administrative capital of Naypyidaw by President Thein Sein and representatives of the groups. The refusal by the larger armies, such as those of the Kachin and Hua ethnic groups, to sign it robs Thein Sein of what he had hoped would be the crowning achievement of his five-year term. Larry Jagan has been studying Myanmar from inside the country for a number of years now.
It can't be considered a nationwide ceasefire agreement, but it is the start of a process that might actually lead to all the ethnic groups signing the ceasefire agreement. Most of them already have bilaterals, and this is trying to bring them all together to start a political dialogue process.
Still, the agreement that is called the National Ceasefire Agreement is seen as a first step toward ending long-standing insurgencies against the Burmese majority government by various minority groups demanding autonomy and control over their natural resources in the north, northeast, and east of the country. U.S. State Department suggestions that Israel might be using excessive force to confront a wave of Palestinian stabbing attacks has drawn sharp criticism from senior Israeli cabinet ministers. Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon accused Washington of misreading the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He said shooting knife-wielding Palestinians was self-defense. I'm Ira Melman.
That's the latest world news from VOA.